Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
That the Lord's bringing to you this morning. I really believe that this is a different morning. I really believe that out in that prayer meeting this morning, I just sensed the presence of God like I haven't sensed in that prayer room for weeks. Seriously. I really believe that the Lord's about to do something great in this house. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I don't want to wait till next week. I want the Lord to do it now. And the platform has already been set. The atmosphere has already been changed. And Trudy, may I just encourage you again. Those songs just spoke so much to what the Lord wants to share here this morning. Amen? Amen. As I said earlier, this is week 9 of 2017. 8 weeks has already gone. How many of you made New Year's resolutions this year? How many of you sat down on New Year's Eve with friends, with family, with acquaintances perhaps, and, you know, said, you know, this year I reckon I'm going to do such and such? Nobody game enough to admit to it? What about in your own private life? Have you said, well, last year was something, but this year I'm expecting something better? You know, I love the way that the Lord is the Lord of second chances. Because we celebrate New Year's Day on what day? 1st of January. You know the Chinese celebrate the New Year by the moon. They have a Lunar New Year. So on January the 28th this year, the Chinese celebrated New Year. So I reckon for Chinese Australians, they would have had a New Year's Eve party when we did and made their resolutions. And on the 28th of January, they would have had another celebration and they would have had a chance to review those resolutions and perhaps make a few shifts and adjustments. But do you know the Vietnamese, they also go by the Lunar New Year. And on the 27th of January, they set aside 5 days to celebrate their New Year. 5 whole days. And this year, it was officially their New Year on January the 28th, but they started on January the 27th in the morning. And next year, it's going to be in February, based on the Lunar New Year. But I thank God that every year, we can celebrate a New Year in the Lord. You know, I've been 33 years in the Lord this year. 33 years to you may be like, oh, that's nothing, Pastor Luke. But you know, when I think about my journey of life, when I think about my teenage years where I was in Sunday school, in church, in youth group, gave my heart to the Lord, celebrated His goodness, fell away from the Lord, went my own way, did my own thing, and then at 28 years of age, He brings me back and showers me day after day after day with His goodness and His kindness and His mercy and His grace. And I don't want to look back and say, well, you know, I made some mistakes back there. I want to look forward to what God's got planned for me and my future in Him. You know, as Westerners, we do this thing. We look back over the year and we think about what worked and what didn't work, what was good and what wasn't so good. And based on that, we set ourselves a standard for the new year. It's almost like we go back to zero, January 1, and we start again. Have you done that? And quite often we get so let down, so complacent, so fed up with what didn't work, we just say, well, gay sirrah, what will be, will be. We'll see what next year brings, or this year brings, or whatever it is. But you know, in Hebrew culture, every year is a foundation for the year to come. So they don't look at 2016 and they say, well, you know, 2016 was a bit average. It was a bit poor. They go, wow, 2016, I had some challenges. I had some opportunities. Some things worked, but some things didn't. But you know what? I'm going to build on that for 2017. And it's actually biblical that God sets a foundation in our lives that is meant to be built on, both the good times and the not so good times. His plan is for an upward spiral in our lives. Hebrew culture, based on the fact that God rules, everything else has something to build on. I want you to think about that this morning in light of your year. Have you discounted last year's not so good times and said, that was horrible, it didn't prove anything, it didn't do me any good? Or are you going to say, well, actually, I learnt some stuff in that, and I'm either never going to go back and do that again, or I'm going to build on that to work through that if it happens again in my life. You see, in Western culture, what we've done, we've placed God on the outer circle of our lives with everything else, and we become the center of our own existence. It's all about me. Oh God, it's about me. God, I'm sick. Can you heal me? God, I'm broke. Can you supply for me? God, that people don't like me. Can you make them like me? God, I want to get them. Can you help me? That's our Western thinking. But in Hebrew culture, God is the center of their universe. Everything flows out of the fact that God rules in their life. And so you look at Hebrew culture, and their finances flow out of God's resourcefulness. Their health flows out of their love for God and their love for other people. Their fear flees because their God is a God of love, and he helps them to get through their fears. And it's really interesting when you look at it, because here we are saying, you know, Jesus is Lord, but the actual fact is, and I pointed it out earlier, most of our lives is ruled by God, but there are pockets in our lives that we want to own for ourselves, because God could never get us through that. God would never understand what we're going through, or I can cover up a bit longer until God deals with me. But I really believe that 2017 is going to be a year of breakthroughs, of growth, of moving into new opportunities and moving through new challenges, because instead of having God as the outer circle of our life, who we pull into me when the need is there, God is going to be the place in the center of our life, and it's going to be a foundation for future growth. Can I have an amen? And it's interesting when you look at Jewish culture and Hebrew culture, we quite often talk about the shepherds leading the flock. And they do. They lead the sheep out to the pastures for the day. But I discovered something interesting the other day, that actually the sheep, once they're in that pasture where the shepherd is, they form a natural circle in their grazing pattern with the shepherd as the center of their circle. Their safety is focused back from any direction to where the shepherd is located. Now, as you know, sheep, when they go out, they follow in a line, don't they, Pete? You know, you can see the little sheep tracks, and when they all go in for a drink, they all go in for a drink. When they count their grain being fed, they all follow in a line. But when they graze, they actually move out. And in Western culture, they just move out. But in the culture where the Bible was written, because of the wild beasts, because of the bears, the lions, and the wolves and everything else that could come and take the sheep, the sheep felt safety knowing they could graze in a circle around the shepherd. Can you imagine trying to be a shepherd and keep around the sheep all the time to protect them? From where he was located in the center, he could keep an eye on all his sheep and see where the danger comes in. The other thing I read the other day, and it all fits in with this message I've got, is the fact that if you look at quite often that the villages in the Middle Eastern lands, they look like they're never finished. Have you ever noticed that in photographs? They look sort of half done, or they look like, I know they look bombed now, but a lot of them look like they're half finished. Well, in their culture, it's the parents that lay the foundation for the house and build the first part of the house for themselves and for their children. And as their children grow up and get married, the sons stay at home and build onto that house for their new wife and their new children. And so we get these houses that to us look incomplete, but they're based on the foundation that the father has put down in the original days for the children to build on that. So their whole culture is a matter of growing and shifting and changing in an upward spiral as each new year transforms. Now I want to lead you in a couple of scriptures to confirm that, because God is the God of His Word. No good painting a pretty picture that's based on the laws of Islam. Amen? It's got to be based on His Word. So in Psalm 84 and verse 7, it says this. Psalm 84 and verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. They do what? They go from strength to weaknesses. From success to failure. From failure to success. No, God's people, according to God's pattern, is that we go from strength to strength. Romans 1 and verse 17. Taking notes this morning. Follow in your Bibles. Romans 1 and verse 17. For it is in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now, can you see that as a building thing? When you're building from faith to faith, is that an upward thing or is that a downward thing? Is that a plateaued thing or is that a growing thing? We move from faith to faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Sorry, Robin, I'll try and keep my attention on you when I announce the scripture. God's word is full of encouragement for our lives. Amen? And it says, but we all. Everyone say we all. We all. Can I say it that way, Myrna? We all. But we all, with unveiled face, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. See that upward spiral? From glory to glory. No. It's from glory to glory, to glory, to glory. That's God's plan in growth, based on what happens in your life. You can't discount what's happened in your history, but you can build on it as a foundation for growth. Amen? From strength to strength, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. It's an upward spiral of empowerment. You think about that. If your faith increases, it's empowering your faith. Amen? If you're going from one level of glory to the next level of glory, it's empowering the glory that's on you. Amen? And if you're going from strength to strength, natural. It's a strength thing. It's all based on the fact that God must rule. Amen? It's an upward spiral of elevation. It's an upward spiral of transformation. Why? Because God rules. When God rules, He moves us forward into. He never takes us back into. He takes us forward into. So this morning, I would love for all of us to imagine what your life would begin to look like if you allowed God to become the center of your life again. The center. I think this is a challenge for all of us. And imagine how He could transform your thinking by moving Him from being the outer periphery of your life to being the center of your life. I want you to take that thought away with you today. Everything that's happened in your past, everything you are going through right now, I believe with all my heart that God is combining these with what He has planned for your future, and He wants to make, wants you to make room for Him to make something new. He wants to take the things of your past and the things that are happening right now and combine them to take you into something new? Who's had such an easy life that life's just, you just can't imagine anything bad ever happened? Anyone? We've all had bad stuff happen. We've all had challenges, opportunities missed, all those sort of things. We must, friends, have the understanding whatever has already happened in our life must only be a platform for God to build upon, to add another tier, to add another dimension, another layer, if you like, of His purpose for your life. Can you grasp that this morning? You may have blamed God for stuff in your earlier walk with Him. Pre-Christ, you might have said, this is all God's fault, this is happening. That is part of your learning curve. The things we thought were so scriptural we couldn't sway from it until God gave us a revelation of what it really means. Isn't that good? That we're not stuck in an old rut. We're actually accepting the new things of God as He reveals them to us. Whatever has already happened is a platform for God to add another tier, to add another layer, to add another dimension of His plan for life. Friends, there's a continuation in life. You didn't stop 2016, completely change your identity, completely change your wardrobe, completely change your location, completely change your transport, completely change everything in your life and said, ta-da, January the 1, here I am. And they go, hi Lou, how are you? I'm not Lou anymore. I was Lou in 2016. I'm the new Bill. Fred. Whatever. We don't do that, do we? In the natural, God wants to build us. He wants to move us. The one thing I want to say this morning, that when God is at the center of our lives, friends, we cannot afford to be passive. We cannot afford to be blasé in what we're doing. We cannot be passive in where God is taking us. But I believe we must have an expectation for the endless possibilities that are available through His promises as Christ followers. Endless possibilities. You've got endless possibilities ahead of you? Amen? You see, when God is at the center, everything takes on a God perspective. Amen? I heard Myrna say to Rosemary this morning, I've got rose-colored glasses. I see everything through rose-colored glasses. Well, when you're in God's family, everything you see should be through His eyes and His perspective. It's not just a mental ascent. I'm one of Jesus' followers. It's actually a heart change. And you start to look at your life, you start to self-examine with the unction of the Holy Spirit and you say, is that right, Lord? What I've accepted all these years just doesn't sit right in my spirit any longer. What shift has to take place? What move has to follow? Amen? You see, my faith moves up a level, moves up a notch sometimes when I'm challenged in a life issue. And I put my trust and I put my confidence back in the Lord to be able to do this. To get through that challenge, to move into that opportunity, to take that opportunity for what it's meant. And it may be a thing that causes me to crash for an instant. It may not work out the way I planned it, but my faith in God says, well, it didn't work that time, let's go again. Amen? Let's look at it through your perspective, God. What did I do wrong? You see, you and I have two generations at least in our life journey. We have a generation or two, maybe even three behind us, and we have a generation or two, or for some of you, maybe three ahead of you. So we are touching generations, and our influence on that generation stems largely on your submission to God in your life's journey, placing Him, as I said, as the center. Amen? I believe today that our faith will grow as we move, as we open up those new opportunities that God's giving us. New experiences. Yes, there'll always be accompanying challenges with it. It's always something that'll happen on the way. But I believe nothing grows without some sort of pushing, some sort of movement against the resistance for change. Amen? I can remember as a little boy picking up an acorn seed up at Stirling. My dad said, "That'll grow into that oak tree." I said, "Really, Dad? How's that cracked old nut going to grow into that sort of tree?" He said, "I'll tell you what we'll do." So he took me home and he put that seed in a glass jar with some blotting paper between it, the blotting paper seed and glass, and filled the inside with sand. We kept it moist. And that dry old seed sprouted a shoot, sprouted some roots. And out of that dry old seed, friends, came a little acorn tree. I never kept it past that. I don't know what happened to it at the end. But you and I can be like that dry old seed sometimes. We look at ourselves and say, nothing good can come out of what I've been doing. Nothing good can come into my life. But friends, I want to encourage you today, there is a way. Could you put that PowerPoint up for me this morning, please, Nike? Hallelujah. I want to talk about stepping into new things. See that action word? Stepping into new things. I believe we need to position ourselves with a fresh experience and a fresh expectation that God wants to move us. He wants to advance us into things that He's already set up for us to step into. Amen? With that in mind, if you can open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read that shortly. I just want to create the scene behind what's happened, and we're going to read into Joshua. We know out of the book of Deuteronomy that God has led the Israelites, Exodus, Deuteronomy, out of Egypt and in towards the promised land. We know that they've had a wilderness experience. We know they've battled different things, and for 40 years they've gone through the wilderness. If you've got your Bibles open there, the page on the left of Joshua 1 in my Bible is Deuteronomy chapter 34. And in verse 5, it's a fascinating passage that leads us into Joshua chapter 1. And for those who don't know, Moses is 120 years of age. And in verse 5 it says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no man knows where his tomb is to this day." Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Strength was not gone. And the Israelites wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hand upon him. So the Israelites listened to him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None equal to him in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. And in all the mighty power and all the great and terrible deeds which Moses wrought in the sight of Israel. We see in this passage that God's people are about to go from just knowing God's promises into seeing and walking on those promises that God has made. They're going to taste something. They're going to see something. They're going to move into something. They're going to shift from what they knew into a new era of God's plan for them. 40 years is a long time, isn't it? But as we read this passage in Joshua this morning, I would like you to do one thing with me. I would like you to take the mandate of the story of Joshua out of the Old Testament, out of the Old Testament of history, and I want you to take this passage as a prophetic implication for your life. So as we read the word Joshua, as we read God's plans over Joshua, I want you to take it this morning as a prophetic implication for your life. Not for your neighbor. Say this with me, this is for me. Nudge the person next to you and say, this is not for you. This is for me. Can you believe that this morning? Can you trust God? Amen. So with this in mind, I've got 3 points I want to bring out of these first 5 verses. We're going to read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Follow with me, I'm reading out of the Amplified. And this is, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, take his place, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving to them, the Israelites. Every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread, that I have given to you as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, that is Canaan, and to the great Mediterranean Sea on the west shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. So this morning, point number one, God is inviting Joshua, God is inviting you this morning into a place of solidity of your footing. Solidity for your footing. He says, every place that you step, God has given to you. He's saying to Joshua, I have prepared the atmosphere. I've prepared the land. I've prepared the soil. I've prepared the water resources. I've prepared the seasons. I've prepared everything that you put your foot on for you. Amen? Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Everybody say walk. Does that sound like action to you? Does that sound like you've got to do something? Can you walk while you're sitting? Can you walk while you're standing still? Can you walk while you're in bed? I know a lot of people do. I've been for my morning walk. I'll get out of bed now. So just as Joshua was moving into a prepared place, a prepared situation, I believe God has set into place things for us. And I see likewise in this passage that you and I, individuals and corporate as a church, are on the threshold of things that God has also prepared for us. Amen? God uses people. If you haven't got that yet, get it this morning. God uses people. For some of us already, we have experienced a shifting, a movement, a change in the preparation of things to come. Some of you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, but I'm believing, friends, by the end of this message, you'll be saying, Lord, I want what they've got. Things are moving. I believe others will begin to recognize a shift in the things that God has prepared for you. A shift in the atmosphere. A shift in the surroundings. A shift in the landscape. A shift in relationships. Whatever it is. And I believe it'll come as you meditate on what God is saying to us today. Amen? And friends, because we're under the umbrella of God's grace, whatever moves we make, right, listen to me, because we're under the umbrella of His grace, whatever moves we make, He promises solidarity of feet, of footing, and the assurance of where I'm taking you is there because I've set the pace for you. God's saying today, I've set the whole plan in motion. Now walk in it. Amen? As you step into the new thing, that God assures you that you won't go backwards, but you will make progress and you will make steady gains along the way. You'll be securing ground as you go. Friend, it's not that the anointing is on that place or in that position. Friends, I want to encourage you today that the anointing is on you. That land was just land, and God said, wherever you place your foot, Joshua, that I will give to you. That place was just a place. That soil was just soil, as Solly used to say. Oils ain't just oils. Soils were just soils until Joshua and God's anointed people began to step on them. Amen? Friends, it's Christ in you that makes the difference. That's why you can move forward. That's why you can advance into the new thing, because He's leading you. He's prepared the way. Amen? Listen to what it says in the Word. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. It says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. Friends, if we knew that in every situation of our lives, the mess we get in sometimes just would not happen. Amen? Come on, be with me. It goes on and says, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Listen to the way the Message says it. I love this. Be strong. Take courage. Don't be intimidated. Don't give them a second thought, because God, your God, is striding ahead of you. He's what? He's striding ahead of you. That's my God. That's the power that's in His promise. Amen? He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you nor abandon you. And you see, Joshua knows all this. He's heard the words of Moses into his spirit. He's laid hold of them in his heart, and he knows these things. I'd like you to do one thing with me. If you can be with me, please be with me. Just stand if you can, please. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about what God has called you into. What has God promised you? What has God spoken to you about? Is there some unfinished business that God asked you to do and you yet haven't done it? Now, with that in mind, hold your hands out in front of you and take one step forward. Only a little step if you've got chairs in front of you. And I want you with your hands to imagine taking hold now of what God's got for you. So you've taken hold, you've walked away from what was, and you've stepped into what now is, what God's got for you. Very good. Now take your seat. I want you to meditate on that this week. Because you had the assurance, even though your eyes were closed, you could still step forward. You may have bumped into a chair, but you didn't fall off a cliff. You didn't fall into that big chasm that was out in front of you. You stepped forward. In stepping forward, you let go of what was, and you stepped into now what is. So my second point this morning is this. Verse 1, God is inviting Joshua with solidity of footing. The time has come. The clarity of purpose. God says to Joshua, Moses has led you this far, but you now, Joshua, have a clear mandate, a clear purpose. What was the clear purpose? To take those people across the River Jordan and into the land of promise. God had already told Moses, Moses, you're not going to enter into that promised land. Although it's really interesting, on the day that Moses turned 120, excuse me, in that Deuteronomy chapter 1, it was the day Moses turned 120. I'm halfway there. He said, Moses, you've done well, but you can't go in. Isn't it interesting? By the time we get to Deuteronomy 34, Moses' life ends. And God begins to speak into the life of Joshua and says, now your time. What I've done for Moses, I'm going to do for you. But what I promised Moses that he couldn't fulfill, you will now fulfill. I believe that this year is going to be one of those growing years where you realize that the time has come for you to make your purpose clear and define where you're going in your mandate. You see, as Joshua learned that he must let go of Moses and they had come to the end of their wanderings, a certain thing ended and clarity of his purpose came into his heart as he laid hold of his new mandate. He had to literally let go of Moses' leadership. Moses is dead. Opening passage. What are you going to do with a dead body if you find it? I believe God deliberately hid Moses' body so they wouldn't keep going back to where he was and mourn what was rather than looking into what was to come. That was God's plan. And he says to Joshua, now you, Joshua, take these people across. So this morning, what does God want you to let go of? And conversely, what does he want you to lay hold of? Ask yourself right now, what Lord, what would you want me to let go of? And what would you like me to lay hold of? See, one of the biggest burdens that we all carry is this thing called busyness. We're all so busy. You know, retired people, ask them to do a job, no, I can't, I'm so busy. Working people, can you help me out for an hour or two? No, I'm so busy. You come to a special prayer meeting, we've got a real need in the church, I'd love to come, but I'm so busy. And you see, the devil's got us in this mindset that we're so busy that we're frightened to let go of stuff in order to lay hold of what God's got for us. Amen? What are you open to? What is he saying to you? What does he want you to do? Are you open to his leading this morning? Lord, what do I have to need to let go to make room for the new thing I'm about to step into? I was thinking about when we had our daughters at home and when they were in their school years and university years and TAFE years, and they kept a lot of stuff. You see, when they were at school, they had to wear uniform. They had to have certain shoes and certain socks, certain dresses and jackets and coats and bags and books and all that sort of thing. And while they're in that school mode, while they're in that learning mode, they had to have those things ready 5 days a week. But when Kylie went to university, when she headed off there, guess what happened to her school uniform? She proudly hung it up in her wardrobe and she looked at it every day and she goes, I miss you wearing your everyday uniform. And every weekend she'd pull it out, she'd iron it afresh and put it on just for old time's sake. And she'd open up her drawers and pull out her school books and she'd revise all her mathematics and all her science. Did she? No, she certainly did not. She got rid of the old in order to make way for the new. Gone were the days of school uniform when she was at university. I can wear t-shirts and singlet tops. I can wear jeans and I can wear, you know, Doc Martens and I can wear sneakers and I can carry whatever I like, wherever I like and do what I like because I'm in university. Then she graduated from university. She started working at the Flinders Medical Centre as a nurse. She couldn't wear jeans to work anymore. She certainly wasn't allowed to wear singlet tops or t-shirts. So she had to make room for her new way of living. She had to make space for what was about to take place in her life. So it was shirts and trousers and uniforms and different study books. But she couldn't keep everything from primary school and high school and university. Stuff had to go in order to make way for the new. I believe we're in a time in our lives, both individually and corporately, we're going to have to sort out what we need to let go in order to take hold of. Amen? God says to Joshua in verse 8 in Joshua chapter 1, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all, to do according to all that is written in it. For then," everyone say then, when? Then, after you've meditated on the word of the Lord day and night, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Notice the word I is not in there, but the word you is in there. God's already done all he can do for you. Now he wants you to meditate and do according to what he's told you to do. So that what? So that you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. How can you do that? Because the Lord's already gone ahead of you. He's prepared the soil. He's prepared the landscape. He's provided for you. Now you have to step into it. We've gone very, very quiet. Whatever the Lord has set out for you to do, you can and will achieve. Why? Because you are keeping that thing in line with God's word. Trying to do it in your own strength, you're trying to do it with God on the periphery of your life and you're in the center, it just doesn't work. How many times have you tried and failed? Tried and failed? Failed again and then tried again? But when you put God as the center, when God rules, his promise here, friends, is that you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Friends, it may be a job situation. It may be your life of prayer and meditation. It may be the time you're not spending reading his word. It might be the fact that you've got spiritual laziness in you, lethargy. Perhaps you've lost your enthusiasm for the Lord and what he's called you to do. Some of you may have put your calling. Some of you may have put your prophecies face down. Who's ever had a prophetic word spoken over them? You've got it written down somewhere. Really sense this morning as I'm speaking these words that some of you, you've turned the page over. You said, this is never going to happen. God, I'm older now. I can't see it coming to pass. Lord, how's that ever going to be fulfilled? That's you this morning. Why don't you stand? I would just like to pray for you. You can be bold enough, you can be honest enough that those prophetic words, as I've spoken about, it's hit you there. But you put them face down. I just see like a page turned over. It's not that you're in disbelief, you've just got that little bit of lack and doubt that God can do what he said he could do. Oh, Father God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these prophetic words spoken over these people. Thank you, Lord, that even this afternoon they're going to go to a filing cabinet, they're going to go to a drawer, they're going to go to a folder and they're going to pull out those prophetic words that rang so true in their spirit not so long ago. And Lord, you're going to refire that in them. You're going to re-speak those words into their heart. They're not going to say any longer, I can't see this coming to pass, or Lord, I've forgotten all about this word. And I release them into that calling right now. I prophesy over you all that are standing that the time is right now. The Lord has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a mandate for that prophetic word to be fulfilled. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Number three this morning. Place your confidence in the Lord. The Lord says in these five verses, Joshua, church, Christian Gospel Center individuals. I want you to place your confidence, all of your confidence, in me. These things to unfold. Joshua is going to take this land of promise. If you're going to walk into that fulfillment of purpose that God has got for you, friends, you're going to have to put all your confidence in Him. Amen? He says to Joshua, no one will be able to stand against you for as long as you live. No one. You ever had a no one in your face and say you're not going to make it? Ever had a no one say to you it's not going to work? Ever had a no one say, this Christianity, this faith walk, this stuff you talk to me all about, it's just a lot of baloney? I think if we could take hold of scriptures like this, that God is speaking to us today as individuals, as a church, no one shall stand against you for as long as you live. Listen to what he says. As I was with Moses, so will I also be with you. And he says, I will not leave you and I will not abandon you. Friends, there's promises in that that you and I can stand in our tomorrows. Moses was just an ordinary guy. He should have been dead as a baby. God's plan for him that he would become ruler of a nation, that he would be just under Pharaoh as an adopted son, that God would use him mightily to set captives free, not 20 or 30, not 50 or 100, but over a million people set free from captivity, set free from bondage, taken to this land of promise. And if Moses had been truly obedient, he would have walked in that, as were the generations of his time done. Caleb and Joshua were of a different spirit, the Bible says. And they held on to the promises of God. And God's reminding Joshua here that I will be with you as I was with Moses. I'm not going to leave you. No one will ever stand against you as long as you live. Those are the sort of promises he's speaking over you today, friends. Three times God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. Look at your passage here. Hallelujah. It says in verse 6, be strong, be confident and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only you be strong and very courageous, that you may do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, either God's a little bit schizophrenic and keeps repeating himself, or he wants to make a point, and Joshua needs to get that point. Now, we've read... If you've read in your Bibles that Joshua and Caleb are of a different spirit, you know that Joshua is pretty attuned to God. God has to tell him three times to be strong and to be courageous. Now, if the Lord's gone before you, why do you need to be strong and courageous? Joshua's already been with Moses when they fought the Amalekites and won. It's nothing to do with his military expertise. He'd already learnt that with Moses. God was saying that when you do battle, Joshua, strategy is important, tactics are important, but morale is the key thing. As a leader, Joshua, and we're all leaders here in one form or another, we need to be strong and we need to be courageous in order to lift the morale of others around us. Weak leadership leads weak people. Strong leadership with courage and determination enthuses morale in followers. That's why the Lord was so strong in his ministry. If your morale plummets, you lose the whole thing. okay, guys, we're going out to fight the Hittites now. Now, there's 40,000 of them. There's only 20,000 of us. The odds are 2-1. All right. I want you, and you to go first. We're right behind you. And the three go, yay, we get picked first. No, they don't. They go, how far behind us are you going to be? Amen? So God says to us, just like he's saying to Joshua, be strong, be courageous. I'm going before you, but you need to know that. Your confidence, your strength, your morale in the life of others is based on the fact you've got confidence in me. In World War II, General Montgomery, in the Battle of El Alamein, battle for North Africa, he says this: the turning point of the battle was based largely on morale. The morale effect of air action on the enemy was very great. And as a matter of fact, it was out of all proportion compared to the material damage inflicted. In the reverse direction, the sight and the sound of our own air troops operating against the enemy had an equally satisfying effect on our troops. Morale is good. Troops are confident and leaders are capable. In finishing, the Lord commands Joshua. I believe today he's commanding us. I will give you solidity of footing. I'm going to give you clarity of call. And I will give you these things, and I'm committed to you as I was with Moses. I'm going to give to you all that you need for your new opportunities and your new challenges. You're going to have everything that you need to take it. But if your morale plummets at any point and you wilt in the face of some of these things, my hands are tied. That's what I believe the Lord is saying. God wants us to be strong and courageous. We're exposed to vulnerability because we are facing something new. You ever been there? Something new, something you've never done before, and you feel vulnerable, you feel nervous, you feel anxious. You've never been that way before, you know, you're finding a new location, relying on street maps or GPSs and street signs that aren't there. Friends, these are the times where we'll learn to lean on the Lord even more, as Joshua would have.